Haines residents will see a new surcharge on their phone bill for 911 services, and four people are safe after their fishing tender sank off Cape Fairweather early this morning. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haines Assembly approved a new surcharge for 911 services at its meeting Tuesday. Haines residents will see their cellular and landline phone bills increase by about $1.50 a month to help fund the new 911 call system. That move was approved by the Haines Assembly Tuesday, but not unanimously. State law allows local governments to enact up to a $2 a month surcharge to fund enhanced 911 systems. The Haines Borough will collect $1.51 a month for each wireless and landline phone billed to a borough address. Enhanced 911 systems provide callback and caller location information to dispatchers, as well as more digital features compared to older systems. The borough used a grant to install a new 911 system recently. Funds collected from the surcharge can be used to maintain the system and future upgrades. The borough's dispatch center received 474 911 calls in 2014. Most members of the assembly supported the surcharge, but George Campbell said it should be budgeted as a tax or a tax increase in the regular budget.
I'm not saying not setting up the fund. I'm saying where we're going after the money is inappropriate. We have an operating budget for our equipment. We've gone to a higher dollar piece of equipment. Our managers need to do a better job, and our department heads need to do a better job of budgeting. There's already thousands of dollars being spent. They just need to budget.
Diana Lapham said she sees it differently. She said the surcharge is not too much to ask of residents to be able to maintain the equipment.
I see it as we are now have a new asset that we've brought into the borough. And if we don't charge to help offset the maintenance, the upgrading, it's very similar. It puts it into a similar category as the wastewater treatment plant. We need to be setting money aside in order to deal with our facilities, with our assets, in a timely manner.
The surcharge goes into effect on residents' phone bills on August 1st. Also at Tuesday's meeting, two assembly members addressed the action of some fellow members at a recent committee meeting. At a Government Affairs and Services Committee on June 1st, the group heard a concern from resident Mike Denker about whether borough policy aligns with borough code in deciding what appears on the assembly meeting agendas. Some committee members were frustrated with Denker's presentation. Campbell used a profanity in describing Denker's argument, and Mike Case called it a waste of time. On Tuesday, Lapham addressed the assembly without specifically mentioning the committee meeting.
We've been elected to the assembly to get a job done, but we are also here to listen to the concerns of the community and each other. Not only do we represent the voters who voted for us, we represent, and it's hard, the ones that didn't vote for us. In order to be respected, we have to be respectful. We lead by example.
Ron Jackson agreed with Lapham and said he was upset at the accounts he'd heard of the committee meeting. He suggested trainings for the assembly in dealing and working with the public. The Chilkat Valley Preschool Board announced today that funds raised for a new facility will still be set aside for that purpose. That comes after an initial agreement to house the preschool in the Haines School starting in the fall of 2016. The nonprofit preschool has been raising money for a new building for about a year. Their current facility is borough-owned, and they've been given a deadline to move out. But the preschool's situation changed this spring when the Haines School District suggested moving the preschool into the school building. The school board approved a memorandum of understanding between the district and the preschool. The MOU is a 5-year agreement in which the preschool would pay for utilities, but not rent. The two parties still need to work out the details of the agreement. Preschool office manager Renee Hoffman says since it looks like they won't need a new facility now, people are wondering what will happen to the money they raised.
The questions came to us, what are you guys going to do with money? What are you guys going to do with money? And so we had to figure that out and get together and say, okay. Some people said, well, what I gave specifically for a building, I don't want it to be used for operations.
The preschool had about $100,000 that could go to a new facility, But Hoffman says about $25,000 was the nonprofit's general fund money, and another $20,000 was a pledge. Hoffman says the total money donated by the Haines community for a new building comes to about $62,000. The preschool board decided to set aside that money in a facility fund account. It will not be used for general operating expenses. Hoffman says if the agreement with the school is not long-term, that money could go toward a new facility in the future.
It depends on how permanent it ends up being at the school. And at this point, you know, we've talked with them about the basics. Once we're in there and we're able to be there for a while and have the conversation with the school as far as if it's renewable, like the language isn't in there yet for that. So once again, the whole puzzle isn't completed.
Hoffman says how long the preschool stays in the Haines school could depend on the economy. If student enrollment increases and the school needs that space, the preschool would be back looking for its own facility. And if that does happen, they'll have the $62,000 donated by the Haines community for that purpose. Four people are safe after their fishing tender sank off Cape Fairweather early this morning. A helicopter from Air Station Sitka hoisted the crew of the 80-foot tender just as the vessel rolled and sank in 6-foot seas near Lituya Bay. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
The Kuprianov was en route from Petersburg to Bristol Bay to tender salmon when it ran into trouble at about 3:45 a.m. in an area known as the Fairweather Grounds, about 110 miles northwest of Sitka. Chris Stokler was the pilot of the Air Station Sitka rescue helicopter. He says the Kuprianov was already partially submerged by the time he arrived. The rear deck or port quarter was already awash. The four members of the Kuprianov's crew were in the bow wearing their survival suits. Their life raft was deployed at the stern. Stokler says he instructed the crew to abandon ship.
One guy jumped onto the raft. The others had to swim out to the raft. We put Jason down to the water. And he helped three people get into the raft.
That's Jason Yelvington, the helicopter crew's rescue swimmer. Stokler says the four hoists took about 20 minutes, which is all the time the Kuprianov had left.
Last basket pickup, the boat sank and took the raft with it.
Rescue swimmer Yelvington says in a situation like this, where sinking is imminent, he prefers to do his work in the water rather than on the distressed boat.
Whether it sinks or not, there are just a lot of hazards for them to hit their head, cause bigger injury trying to move around. I've got fins on usually, taking those off to get onto the boat and help them. It's just usually a lot easier of an evolution for us if everybody's in the raft in one area that I can get to and swim them from there.
Yelvington says there was a lot of diesel fuel in the water, and breathing the fumes made the work harder. He appreciated the fact that the crew members of the Kuprianov were all functioning well under trying circumstances. He says it's often not until everyone's safely aboard the helicopter that they're hit by what's just happened.
Not an opportunity for a lot of conversation, so I think they get to go through a lot of the interior stuff that happens kind of on the way back and get a chance to calm down, especially. So I think that could be helpful to somebody to kind of reflect on what just happened.
A Good Samaritan vessel, a ship, according to co-pilot Ben Neal, also responded to the Kuprianov's mayday, but notified the Coast Guard that it would have been difficult to recover survivors from the water had that been necessary. Nevertheless, the Good Samaritan would have been useful if something had gone wrong. But Neal says a lot went right, thanks to the advanced preparation of the Kuprianov crew before they set out across the Gulf.
They had actually done a drill the day before where they got their Gumby suits out and inspected their equipment. And that was probably critical in how prepared they were today. They really did have things well organized. They were pretty calm and they called for help at the right time.
All the survivors and rescue swimmer Yelvington were checked out by medical personnel once they returned to Sitka. Other than their exposure to diesel fumes, all were released without injury. The Coast Guard Marine Safety Detachment is investigating the cause of the Kuprianov's flooding. Neal says the vessel had been out of service for roughly 20 years prior to making this voyage. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
To see a video of the rescue, visit the kcaw.org website. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. K- KHNS News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan. But we're more than just your local news. We also collaborate with other Southeast Public Radio stations to keep you informed of regional issues that affect us locally. We bring you these wider-reaching stories, along with local news to help our communities make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.